1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we are going to start here in verse 6, if we will. And I know last week we had, am I on? You guys hear me okay? Okay, I'm on. All right.
You're on.
The wall speaks. It's not the handwriting on the wall, it's the voice from the wall. It speaks. Anyway, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse number 6, if you will. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat it. We entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. And that's the whole thing here that we have to remember as we go down through this, through Corinthians, actually, is of the rebuke. All Scripture is given by inspiration. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And here's the rebuke. And what Paul is going to get into now is he's going to hammer home the points here with them, and he's doing it through doctrine. This is none. When he says there, when we get down into verse 6, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, he includes himself in the men. He's not tooting his own horn. He's not saying, I'm right and you're wrong. He's saying the doctrine is right and you are wrong. And he's going to hammer away at them. And as we come here in verse 6, again, we have to remember the context of what he's doing in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. He's answering the fundamental problem of all of the church, the body of Christ at large, in main line, if you will, but specifically at Corinth, and that is that they are valuing human wisdom, human viewpoint, over divine viewpoint, divine wisdom. They're out following the religious system, the vain religious system, and rather than following Paul as the wise master builder. So in light of what the Corinthians are doing, which is what? Verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. By the way, there are seven mysteries of God that Paul covers that no one else talks about, only Paul does. So the thing of it is, here's what are they doing? They're casting doubt on Paul's apostleship and then those that are working with him as being ministers of Christ. They said, if you're a minister of Christ, then and you're an apostle, then you would look like the 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the early Acts. Actually, more like Acts, because they're going to have the gifts given to them. That's a Pentecostal thing. So you should not be, you know, you should be eloquent in speech. You should not have to, you shouldn't be driving a Chevy. You should be driving a Cadillac. See? You should be the health, wealth, and all of that stuff come in. And Paul's like, no. Why? Because the doctrine that Paul's been teaching them, in Romans specifically, is completely the opposite of that. Romans 8:18, the suffering of this present time. What does that mean? That means there's suffering This is a dispensation of suffering. Doesn't mean it's health and wealth and easygoing. See, there's a different mentality in the giving. The Lord said 100% give. Paul says a cheerful giver. So as Paul contradicts what the Lord says in his earthly ministry, they're casting doubt on whether, on his apostleship, his authority. And again, as Paul addresses this, we begin to see that the Corinthians begin to use the wrong standard, the wrong criteria to measure, to determine Paul's apostleship and him being a minister of Christ. So then what do they question? They question his faithfulness. That's why in verse 2, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Paul says, I have been faithful all along here. However, what does he say? Verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. The end of verse 3, I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Paul says, I'm not judging whether I've been faithful or not. I think I have been, but you know who's going to determine that? The Lord is. So what have the Corinthians done? They've literally taken over the judgment seat of Christ. They've become judge, jury, and executioner, see? And Paul says, you can't do that because you can't do that because you're using the wrong standard to do it. If you were using grace, then you would not say that. If you were using rightly dispensational Bible study, then you would recognize that when I said, I've received it, I'm giving it to you, then that's what would be the case. So now, the Corinthians, again, Paul for the first time has to defend his apostleship. And he begins to deal with them. And he says, I'm not going to allow you to do this. You're not allowed to do this. Because you're using the wrong criteria, the wrong according to, if you will. So in verse 6, which is where we're at here, it's an oddly worded verse, if you look at the language. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. You think about transferred in a figure to Apollos and I. And he begins to use some things, and again, you got to pay close attention to what Paul's doing with the Corinthians. He's going to, these things, okay? Well, what are these things Paul's referring to? Now, what things? Then he says, they're transferred in a figure. I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos. Paul is going to explain the corrective doctrine here in a manner of using figurative language, illustrative language. He's not going to use big doctrinal terminology. He's going to use figurative or illustrative language. He's going to come in and he's going to use some illustrative manners here as he's and he's going to apply it, and he's using himself and Apollos as the drawing board, if you will. Okay? And the reason he does this is, well, chapter 3, verse 1. What are they? They're babies. They're spiritual babes in Christ. And when you talk to children, you know what you use? You use pictures. You use illustrations. You use figurative type language. He's not able to move them on to the more fundamental and in-depth language of an adult. Why? Because they're babies. So he's going to figurative. He's going to use a figure, an illustration here. And again, if you look back at 4:6, why he does it, he says, for your sakes, the middle of the verse, that ye might learn where? In us, not to think of men above that which is written. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say above. You know why he says that above that which is written? We'll talk about what it is in a minute here. Because the Corinthians are stuck on themselves. They're conceited. They've got a high value of themselves. And he's like, you're thinking wrong. You don't judge men based on how you think. You judge men based on what is written, see. You don't think of me and Apollos above that which is written. When he says the men there, I said it a minute ago, Paul includes himself in that. When you guys judge me, Paul, then you're going to do it based on what? On what's written, not based on some false, phony criteria over here of what you think. Because you're conceited. You're high-minded. You think, you think you're right when I'm telling you you're wrong. Actually, the Word of God's telling you you're wrong. So when we get into verse 6, 7, and 8 here, and 9 this morning, and we're going to go as far as that hour clock back there will let us. But the thing of it is, here's, you have to remember, he's making a point here by using a figure, an illustration of himself and Apollos to identify what's going on at Corinth, the result of the bad thinking, the result of the improper mindset. So what things? He says, verse 6, and these things, brethren. Well, go back to chapter 3. Obviously, the things would be the stuff in where? Chapter 1, 2, and 3. That's what he's been talking to them. But just look at the illustration in chapter 3, verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Okay, so here's an illustration. He's going to demonstrate something to them, and he's using himself and Apollos. Because what are the Corinthians saying? Well, I think Apollos is the guy. And the other, I think Paul is, and now we got to fight, you know. But they're using the wrong criteria to come to that. So what does he say in verse 6? I have planted, and Apollos watered. God gave the increase. Notice the illustrative language. What does he say? He brings in farmer, or agriculture. What does a farmer do? Well, if I'm going to have a crop, the increase, I've got to do what? I got to go plant the seed, and then I got to water the thing. So who's the planter? Paul is. Who's going to water? Apollos is. See? So there's an illustration here that Paul's using to drive home the problem at Corinth. Because 4:6 is going to go on to say that you guys are puffed up one against another. You know what they were? I'll just tell you because it's itching to get out of me. Get it out. Thank you. You know what the problem at Corinth was? They did not like diversity. They promoted, and Paul will develop this in chapter 12, 13, and 14 under the gift chapters. And by the way, the reason the gift chapters are even there is because of this problem. Because they don't like the diversity. They are puffed up. They had promoted one gift above them all. See? And they were hammering on. So if you had your gift and the guys had their gifts and they're doing, well, that's, who wants the gift of giving? That's such a low man on the totem. And that's what they were, and Paul's going to smack them. He's going to bend them over his knee and spank them figuratively. By doing what? I'm a Paul, I planted, and Apollos watered. See? Now that's clear. You get that, right? Who gave the increase? God gives the increase. So at Corinth, their level of understanding required Paul to use pictures, nursery talk, baby stuff. And what does he say? You guys understand, I planted the doctrine, and Apollos watered it. God's the one that gives the increase. So we have a figure here. And he's able to articulate to the Corinthians what's going on, what the problem is, and how we're going to fix it. Verse 7. So then, again, verse 6 is clear. I plant, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. Easy to see the relationship there. Now watch verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. What's the issue? Not whether it's Paul doing the planting and Apollos doing the water, it's the increase. It's God and his work. It's his plan. It's his purpose. Did the one who planted create the seed? No. Who created the seed? God did. Who created the doctrine? God does. By the way, the one who waters, did he create the rain? No. Who created the rain? God did. Who gives the increase? God does. See, the focus is not, that's why he says, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters. We are not the issue. You Corinthians have made Apollos and I the issue. We're not. The issue is who? God and his program and his plan. Now look at verse 8. Neither he that planteth and he that, I'm sorry, now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One. When we went through this, we walked through this very slowly here. They are one. God created the seed. God created the water, the doctrine. He's the one that created. When you plant something, Linda, we planted wildflowers out in a little area that we have, and they weren't coming up. And Linda goes, you have to water them. I'm like, wow, who knew? No, yeah, you know, I knew we had to water them. But the thing, so as soon as we started putting water on, you know what we got? Weeds in the form of wildflowers. See? Who did all that? God did. God waters. God is the one that, through the work of the Holy Spirit, allows the truth of his word to literally work and operate and affect, change and impact. That's the increase. So who should be getting the credit? God should be. But the Corinthians weren't doing that. They were dividing over it. So verse 8, Paul's point, Apollos and I are really what? One. Even though Paul and Apollos had different roles, different capacities. You see, the Corinthians are looking at the individual thing. Paul backed it up and looked, no, you're it's the big picture, guys. See? Even though they were diverse in their activities within the ministry, the issue now with the Corinthians is they began to make Paul and Apollos competitors and not companions. That's why he says, we're one. Now, Paul was going to develop this out in 12, 13, and 14. We're going to get over there here in just a minute. But go back to chapter 4, verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure. What's the figure? Chapter 3, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. I planted, Apollos watered. We are nothing. We are working in our different roles in accomplishing the program and the purpose. Paul has his specific role and capacity. Apollos has a different role and capacity. Paul is the apostle. He is the wise master builder. Everybody else is subject to that. Apollos is there. Timothy is a secondary apostle. Apostle is a sent one on behalf of another. Paul sends Timothy. He's a secondary apostle. He is not the apostle, see? So there's this issue of a figure. But what's happening? Even though they have different roles and different capacities and they're still working together with the same common goal, the same unity, because God's the one that gets the increase. So God gives the increase. He's saying to the Corinthians, you made Apollos and I competitors, and we are not competitors. We have the same goal, doing God's work, His plan, His purpose. We're working in the same manner. Now, again, that gets to saying the same thing, having the same mindset, and they don't have that. And I'll be honest with you, when you look around the body today, they don't have the same. Oh, but Rick, they're preaching the same thing. No, they're not. You got to have the same book to start with. That's what makes us oddballs. Then you got to have the same apostle, and they don't. When you run across somebody who uses a King James Bible, says their grace, and they spend more time talking about the earthly ministry of Christ, they're not saying the same thing. They're actually Galatians 1. They're in another gospel. So you got to be careful. So you got to have it all the way through. You can't just have, well, this, but the Corinthians were doing that. Now look at verse 7, 4:7. For who maketh thee to, notice that, differ from another? You see, the issue is going to be this thing about diversity. They don't like it. They don't like it because they don't understand it. See, it's bad knowledge, bad wisdom. You have to remember the Corinthians are babes in Christ. So when you talk about diversity and unity and harmony, they don't understand that at all. See, they're over here in another issue. So when you look at verse 7, for who? Now think about the who. You can look at that in a couple different ways. One, where Paul's rebuking them by their very suggestion that they are better than anybody and everybody else. So Paul's basically saying, who do you think you are? And thinking you are better than everybody else, because you're not. And then you could think about it in the issue here of who the Apollos and Paul, that issue of diversity, the difference. See, they're not, who maketh thee to differ from one another? And that's really the situation that's going on at Corinth. There are differences. But guess what? They're not identifying those. They're not valuing those. They're not esteeming those. When you think about, I think about us today here. You know, we'll be here 25, the church will be in operation 25 years this year, 1999 to 2024. August. So we're going to have a blowout party at the end of the year because of it'll be nicer outside. We hope, okay? All right. But see, you got to think about, when I was growing up at Shorewood, I was around some of the older gentlemen, older saints, the men, that were a part of J.C. O'Hare's church, okay? Actually, the last gentleman that was sat on J.C. O'Hare's board was at Shorewood, and I knew him, Bill Cash, I knew him very well. He's the one that talked me into, you know, Arizona's a good place to go. You know, he loved Arizona, loved his Cubs too, but anyway, that's a different story. But I began to watch how they worked, talking to Dad and everything, and it was always, well, I'm in my lane. This is my lane. This is, I'm just going to use Bruce, Bruce's lane. I let Bruce be in Bruce's lane. I don't go get in his lane. That's his lane, see? Now, we work together for what? One goal, the common goal. But we're in our lanes. Because if I let Bruce be in his lane, when he needs to lead and do and determine stuff, then when I need something to lead and do, what's he going to do? Follow along, support it as I. So there's this, and there's this diversity. See, and the problem at Corinth is they didn't do that. They weren't valuing the diversity. Then verse 7 says, "And what hast thou didst not receive?" Now, that's interesting. They had received some things. Go back to chapter 1, and this is why I said what I said a minute ago. Chapter 1, look at verse 7. What did they receive? Chapter 1, verse 7. So that ye come behind in no, what? Gift. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus. What did they receive? They received the gifts. See? That's chapter 12, 13, and 14. And where Paul's going to develop it out, because the gifts are what? They're different. They're different types of gifts. Now, the Corinthians weren't the only church that had the gifts given to them in the early days before the word was completed. When the word was completed, the gifts went away. They stopped. They ceased. Okay? Ephesians 4 is clear. 1 Corinthians 13, very clear. When they, other church had them too, but they weren't abusing them. They were embracing, the Corinthians were abusing them. They didn't embrace them. They didn't value the diversity of it. So when what Paul's trying to teach the Corinthians is you guys need to value the differences here, the diversity here. And I'm using myself and Apollos as an illustration here for you, as a figure here, that we are not competing. We're actually companions. We're cooperating. Because the Corinthians were what? They were competing. I got one, you got one, mine's better than yours. Nah, 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 nah. And a boom. And that's, by the way, that's the carnal mind, isn't it? That's the carnal thinking. The carnal mind seeks to promote the one over the other when they're really designed to do what? Work together. Okay? So that's what Paul's driving at here. By the way, the end of verse 6, where he says there, I lost the verse. There it is. That ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up against another. Don't think like that. You're not supposed to be puffed up. You're supposed to be what? Working together. At Corinth, they weren't. They were a mess. So Paul said, and then, you know, I don't want you to think of me above that which is written. You're thinking of others above that which is written. Knock it off. Stop doing that. That's carnal thinking. Verse 7, the things that thou hast received, obviously talking about the gifts. By the way, where in verse 7, and what hast thou that didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, they did. Who gave it to them, by the way? The Godhead gives it to them. They don't, by the way, I heard a guy years ago, and it's just always stuck with me. If it's a gift, you don't seek it. Because everybody's like, seek your gift. Then it's not a gift. A gift is something given. And God says, I'm giving it to you at the in the time, in the here, historically. And then when I complete the Word of God, all that stops. Verse 7. Why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? It's interesting. They received the gifts, and yet they're acting like who gave them the gifts? They got them themselves. They're not giving God the credit and that support. Now, come to chapter 12 and watch Paul do this in the chapter, because he's going to develop this. He's going to develop the fact that in the gifts are going to be different. But that's not a negative thing. The Corinthians had made it into a negative thing. They're designed to produce a oneness. Chapter 12, we'll just start in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God, that's the Father, which worketh all in all. Notice the difference, the word diversity, the word different. In other words, they're not the same. We have a diversity here. And we have a diversity of action, but a what? A singleness of mind and the goal to produce. We have all of this to come over here to get to here. So Paul in chapter 12 is going to emphasize, his emphasis in chapter 12 is on unity. In chapter 13, it's on charity. Because charity, by the way, charity is not love. It's not the love chapter. Charity is this unity in action. And then in chapter 14, the ultimate goal of the gifts is the issue of edification, not puffing up over one over another. Yet the carnal mind, what did they say? Five times Paul to the Corinthians is going to say you're puffed up. They should have recognized why the gifts were given, had that singleness of mind, understood the diversity, but they don't. Verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Again, who's giving it? The Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead does it, and he gives it to whom he will. And by the way, the he there is a man. Because chapter 14 says this is a men only thing. See? So you've got to, we understand that now we got a completed word. We look back, the Corinthians weren't getting it. Paul's hammering it home. But by the way, the reason he's doing this is because of what they're doing to him by saying he's not a minister of Christ. See? He's saying, you guys are saying I'm not, or actually he's saying we, us, those with him, Apollos, Timothy, all Stephan, all those guys are not ministers of Christ. And I'm telling you, we are. We just have different roles. And you guys are not. You follow what he's doing? Okay? Now, by the way, look at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. What do we have? We have unity, don't we? One and many. And he's going to use the body as a figure, as an illustration here, to hammer the point home. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15. Here's the first problem. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So the first problem that Paul's going to deal with here is the issue of inferiority. What does the foot say? Because I'm not the hand, I'm inferior. Paul's going to say, knock it off. No, you're not. You're necessary. Verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Again, the inferiority complex. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smell? Think about this, guys. Come on. I'm using a picture of your body, and if everybody was an ear, you'd be funny looking. What's going on? See how they're babies. They're carnal. And he's drawing a picture. Second problem, verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. There's superiority. I'm superior to you, I don't need you. No, Ephesians chapter number 4 says that the body is compacted and every joint supplies. See? What are the Corinthians doing? Yanking it around? No, I don't need you. We're going to reign as kings and we don't need you. We're your boss. We'll tell you what to do. By the way, verse 22 is the third problem. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. No, then he's going to deal with the issue of necessity. So Paul is developing, starting in chapter 4, this principle of unity, of diversity, of limitation, of cooperation, of specialization, of necessity. And he begins that in chapter 4, dealing with the Corinthians, and he's ultimately going, you guys should fall in love with each other because of your diversity. because of the differences, see, and because of you should value and esteem it. Now, go back to chapter 4, but they're not getting it. You know what they're doing? They look at Apollos and Paul, and they say, well, Paul says that he's this, but man, Apollos is eloquent in Scripture and uses the proper grammar and uses this proper speech syntax and does all this stuff, and Paul is just, he's just rude over here, rudimentary, elementary, and yet what did we look at when we went through all that? Paul could use the big words if he wanted to. Chapter 2, it wasn't the issue. The Corinthians had made the big words the issue. And Paul's like, you guys aren't valuing the differences between Apollos and I. You've rather stacked the deck here. Verse 7. In chapter 4, not only is he dealing with the Corinthians, but he's preparing you, the Corinthians, and us by studying the book for chapter 12, 13, and 14. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Who did this? God did it. God gives the increase. It's about what God's doing today. You guys aren't recognizing that. You're not recognizing the difference between Apollos and I. We are one. We're not at war with each other. We're not competing. We're in the same mind. Verse 7. And what hast thou that didst not receive? Whatever you possess was given to you. You didn't self-generate it. Keep reading verse 7. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received? You see that issue about glory? That's the problem. They were glorying in what was given to them by God, not recognizing the diversity, the differences. They are literally doing the end of verse 6. That no one of you be puffed up for one against another. There's glory. They're glorying in it. So what is that's the problem. What are they? They're puffed up. By the way, chapter 5, verse 2, and ye are puffed up. Chapter 8, verse 1, now as touching things offered unto the idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Chapter 13 and verse 4. Chapter 13 and verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. See? Paul says a lot about this to the Corinthians. What are they doing? Go back to chapter 4. They're glorying in it. And he says, you're puffed up. You're not thinking properly. You've caused a competition here, and there's not one. You're not valuing the individual differences that we all have within the body, and we all play a role, and you've blown it. You've let it go. Chapter, that verse in Ephesians is sticking in my brain, so Ephesians 4 and verse 16. This is how you ought to think. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That is the goal of edification. That's our goal over here, to grow you up in all things in who? In Christ. From whom? Christ. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. According to, okay? So every joint in Southwest Bible Fellowship has a job, something to supply. But it's going to be according to something, isn't it? Not what Rick says, not, you know, but according to the measure, I'm sorry, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now, what effectually worketh in you? Well, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says the word of God effectually worketh in you that believe. So when the word works in you, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, the word works in you, what are you going to do? You're going to supply your part. See? Making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see, that's how it should work. You learn, you come, you learn, you study, you grow, and you say, you know what, I can do. And the impact that you have in the local assembly, is what Ephesians 4 is talking about, comes from the inward outward. Not, hey, who's looking at me? Who's watching? Who? I see you. Okay? Not that. It's a working. Somebody asked me one time, how do you grow a church? You grow it Ephesians 4:16 way. If this place means anything to you, one, you'll give to keep the doors open and the lights on, but then you'll tell others about it and you'll bring them. And then what do? It increases, see? Now you got to get them saved and come to the knowledge of this. I get that, but that's how it works. It doesn't work with the big marketing campaign, see? If the place doesn't mean anything to you, the doctrine taught here doesn't mean anything to you, then you won't do it. You're not increasing. You're staying the carnal babe, see? You follow that? Now go back to 1 Corinthians 4. Sorry, that was all rabbit trail, okay? It was stuck in my brain right in the front, and I got to get it out or else we'll be on it all day, and I don't want to be on that. I got other things to tell you. Ephesians 4, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. I'm sorry. I said Ephesians, didn't I? That just dawned on me. See, I told you, it's planted right there, you know? 1 Corinthians 4, and go back up to verse 6, and these things, the things of chapter 3. These things, brethren, I have transferred to myself and to Apollos in a figure. Transfer. I use Apollos and I as the illustration, the teaching, for your sakes. I'm doing this for you. Not that ye may learn, notice, in us, not to think of men above that which is written. So obviously, it's not above what you think, it's above that which is written. So then obviously, he's talking about his writings. What he's writing to the Corinthians, to the church, the body of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts are not written to the church, the body of Christ. They're written to the little flock, the believing remnant of Israel. That's who they're written to. So he wouldn't say, go read them and figure out how to judge us out. He says what? I'm the wise master builder. I've laid the foundation. We're preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret, but now made manifest. So you're going to go now and you're going to how you should think about people is how I have written to you. So in a general sense, Paul, you shouldn't esteem anything higher than God's word in a general sense. Okay? But here Paul's not being general, he's being specific. I want you to learn something here in us. Specific. Paul and Apollos. I want you to learn, I want you to see how it is to, even though we're different, we're diverse, we have different capabilities, we have different abilities, we have different assignments, yet we have one goal. I want you to look at us and how you're to view us in the Scriptures. You think about Paul. This isn't an identity crisis for Paul. Paul knows who he is. But the Corinthians should know who he is. And I don't want you to esteem me above the things that I have written or am writing. I want you to come in. And when you think about that, what does he say about how we are to value and esteem each other? Brotherly love, higher, Philippians 2, esteem others better than yourselves. See, there's a whole mentality here that he's teaching is, and he's writing down. Now, come back to 1 Corinthians 14, because in the development of this diversity unity thing, he says 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 36. And it's very interesting when you link it up with chapter 4. What he's doing in chapter 4 is setting up what he's going to get in with them in the deep, in the meat of the doctrine in 12, 13, and 14. Look at verse 36. What? What? Look at that question. What? Who do you think you people are? Came the word of God out from you? Did you just make this stuff up? Did you just come along and say, we're going to do this and do it? Or came it unto you only? Do you think this just came to you? You see how high-minded they are, conceited. There's no unity. There's no charity. They're stuck on me. See? And Paul's, what in the world? What are you thinking? Where did the word come from? Verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet. Now, stop right there. Now, that's the gift of the prophet. The gift of the prophet says, yea, hath God said. Here's what God says. So there's the guy at Corinth that holds the office of the prophet. You know what he's saying? That what Paul's writing is not the word of God, according to chapter 4, verse 1. Wow. You got to think about, that's why chapter 4 is so critical in setting up what's coming, because in chapter 4, you guys are questioning my faithfulness in my ministry as a steward, as a minister of God and a steward of the mysteries of God. You're saying I'm not an apostle. And who's confirming it? The dude that holds the office with the gift of the prophet or spiritual. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. The standard is what is written to us in Paul's epistles. That's it. That's why I said a couple weeks ago, Paul's epistles supersede all other scripture, because this is what God's doing today. Doesn't mean we ignore it. Romans 15 is clear. We study it, learn it, good. But it supersedes what Paul says over what. So if I got up here and said, okay, we're starting a tithing campaign and it's 75% of your income. We're not doing 25. We're not doing 100. We're going to get in the middle. What would you do? Bye-bye is right. Yeah. Why? Because what supersedes that? What Paul wrote? That's in all matters of faith and practice, not just in the ones we like it to be. See? You think about what Paul's saying here. There's folks at Corinth who've infiltrated them, coming out of the Jewish religion. They're coming in and they're beating on the Corinthians and they're saying Moses supersedes what Paul says because Paul's really not a guy because look at him. Oh my goodness. And Paul says, no, 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 no. I don't want you to think above that which is written. Who's writing? My writings. Because that's where the standard is. Go back to chapter 4. Of 1 Corinthians. That's the standard. Because we got to move now to get down. Well, we're moving. You see, so when he talks about thinking about men above that which is written, he's not talking about just Genesis to Revelation. But if that's the case, then a lot of us should be dead by now because of our bad activity. Because if you do some things, we got to go out and take you out backyard and stone you. Well, no, we can't do that. Are you sure? But over here we can do this and not that. Now you're picking and choosing, and you're being dishonest with the Word of God. And how dare you do that? See, that's what Paul's doing here, okay? Verse 7. All right, we're verse 8. Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. Notice how the Corinthians, by the way, verse 8 is sarcasm. Here's Paul being very sarcastic, and I love it. It's just so cool. The Corinthians are puffed up, coming out of verse 6 and 7. They're full of vain glory. And instead of recognizing the diversity and the fact that that diversity is designed to accomplish the purpose of God, they are trying to be the big shot. So Paul sarcastically says, verse 8, ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. Now think about that, full. Come over to Philippians 2. Give you an idea here quickly. Philippians 2. Philippians 4, verse 12. The idea of full, not lacking anything. You don't need anything. Yet, they really do. See. What did the Corinthians think? We're good to go. Look at verse 12, Philippians 4, 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So full would be what? Abound. I got it all. I don't need anything. Okay? Go back to 4:8. So full, the idea is Corinthians are saying we don't need anything, we're good to go. And yet they're lacking growth. Verse, ye have reigned, now ye are rich, affluent, wealthy. They don't need anything. We've got it covered. And then he says, and ye have reigned as kings without us. Reigning as kings, executing authority, reigning, kings. You're the boss. They think they're the boss. They're puffed up individuals. We are the standard. We are the boss of anyone. We know it all. We don't need Paul. We don't need Apollos. We don't need anyone. We're good to go. Just like at the swap meet when the lady walked by and says, that's okay, I know it all. Remember that? You guys are okay. I know it all. Okay. Very cool. So how many angels can land on the head of a pin? Come on, you know it all. See? That's Paul's point there. You guys think this way. Now look at verse 8. Ye did reign, and I would to God ye did reign that we also might reign, notice, with you. Paul says, I would love to support you guys in what you're doing and reign with you, but I can't. If you were doing all of this according to God's standard, God's knowledge and wisdom and understanding, I'd be right there with you. I'd endorse you, but I can't. Why? Verse 9. For I think that God has set forth us. See how he's going to contrast now in verse 9 about what? God's thinking. I think God would do what? God, you guys say you're rich, you're wealthy, you're good to go, you're the boss. You know what God says of us? We're appointed to what? Death. We're a spectacle unto the world and the men and the angels. We're verse 13. We're the offscouring of all things. We're the thing that you're scraping out of the bottom of the pan into the garbage. You see how God thinks about you? He doesn't think about you like you think about you being good to go, kings and wealthy and set and everything. He's over here thinking about you. He thinks this about us. Paul, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last. Last in what way? As it was appointed to what? To death. Spectacle. The idea there is the Roman Colosseum, where the crowds are cheering the death of the believer. You guys want to reign? You want to be in charge? You want to do? And yet, what are we? We're really the object of man's morbid entertainment, the spectacle. God's standard. Here's how God thinks about it, and he's going to do it 9 to 14. Come over to Hebrews 10, that thing about the spectacle. Hebrews 10. You see, God's standard is chapter 4, verse 9. This is, you know how Paul thought? I'm thinking like God thinks. You know how I think? I think I'm in here for the morbid entertainment of carnal man. I'm not here trying to win friends and influence enemies. I'm here trying to win enemies and influence my friends. See? I'm not here trying to gain. I'm trying here to help. Look at Hebrews 10. Now, Hebrews 10, obviously talking to the little flock, the believing remnant, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock. That's the same word for spectacle. Both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. The gazing stock, that little flock, that believing remnant who endured great fight of affliction. That's the world's view, by the way. You're a gazing stock. You're the object for entertainment. Now come back to Nahum. See if you can find Nahum. If you've been with us on Wednesday night, you know where it's at. Old Testament. Minor prophets. If you got the right Bible, it's page 953. 1149. See, you don't have the right Bible back there. Yeah. All right. Look at Nahum 3. And just think about this gazing stock, spectacle. Nahum 3, verse 6. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee, and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Now, this is Nineveh after Jonah, okay? So it's not Nineveh before Jonah, it's after Jonah, all right? Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Notice how he describes very vividly the gazing stock in verse 6. I'm going to cast abominable filth on you. I'm going to make you vile, and I'm going to set you like that godless Nineveh. You see, that's exactly what Paul's going to describe now in 1 Corinthians 4. Go back there because time's up. Verse 9 and following. What are we? We're appointed to death. We're a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We'll see those three categories next time. We're fools for Christ. We're weak. We've hungered. We're naked. Can you imagine? Here stands in your midst the Apostle Paul, and he's naked as a jaybird. And you won't clothe him. You won't help him. You make him go work with Aquila and Priscilla. That's what he says. We had to go work with our own hands. We're persecuted. We said, you know what? They weren't coming to his, they weren't being like the Philippians who over and over and over sent gifts to take care of their apostle. They weren't there. Why? Because they didn't recognize him. They're devaluing him. They weren't enjoying the diversity So Paul says, hey, our goal is so that you don't think of men above that which is written, which is exactly what the Corinthians, and you guys think this way, and 4:9-14, here's how God thinks about us. And it's a completely opposite viewpoint, because a carnal mind views this way. Carnality views this way. God's wisdom says you're not the issue. The issue is the purpose and the plan. The issue is me and what I'm doing and what I'm accomplishing through you. Man says, no, it's all about me. I got to look good, smell good, taste good, sound good, etc. Okay? By the way, the reason I say taste is because 2 Corinthians there 11, he looks at, or he says, you let a man bite you and devour you. They're literally chewing on these people, as well as all, you know, the spiritual stuff. Anyway, we'll pick up in verse 9. We'll hit the three categories and try to move a little further down the page, okay? All right, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the instructions here, the warning, to have the proper mentality, the proper thinking process about diversity and the things that are happening within the local assembly, and have that, and have your word be the guiding authority on that. In your name we pray, amen. All right.